Blog Talk Radio.
Praise is what I do.
that was done by William Murphy, pastor in Georgia. We thank God for that song, because that's what praise should do for everybody, because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. The only reason for you not to have or able to praise God is not to have breath. But if you have breath, you ought to give him a praise every now and then. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am your host, Pastor Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Christ, sent here to do God's will. And I thank each and every one of you all for joining us. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into today's lesson. I'm just so thankful that I know who I am. And I thank God, first of all, for his word, because it's in his word that we learn whose we are and what we are. And Father God, we just come with thanksgiving in our hearts today, thanking you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to walk in that truth. Hallelujah. Not our truth, but your truth. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Everybody doesn't have the opportunity to walk in your truth and know it. So we are thankful, Father God, that we can walk in your truth and then know that we are walking in your truth. I give you honor. I give you praise. Glorify your holy name, Father God. Then I thank you for those that have been healed, those that have been delivered, those that we prayed for, and those that we believe in, that whatever the request was, is already done. It's already done, Heavenly Father. So we thank you for it. We praise your holy name. Then, Father God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you'll let this word go forth and open somebody's heart to receive it. May it be a blessing. And then, Father God, I thank you, too, for allowing me to speak your truth over the airways. Because a lot of people would love to speak, but faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I thank you, Father God, that we can speak truth today. Not our truth, but your truth. And with these and all blessings, we ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you so much. I don't know what happened there, but hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. Pastor, are you available to read? Okay. Could you, good morning, good afternoon. Could you start us off with Colossians 3 and 12 and through 16.
Okay. And good afternoon, everyone. I thank you, Pastor, for that prayer and also that song. Amen. So Colossians 3, 12 through 16, reading from the King James. Okay, that's 2:1-3. Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Amen.
Was that verse 12 through 16, or was that just 16?
Oh, that was 12 through, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. You said 12 through 16. Let me back up.
Yes, ma'am.
I apologize.
No problem.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy the love, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. For those that may not know where we're at, we're talking about, it's clear that we are an epistle of Christ. And over there in 2 Corinthians 3, remember how he talked about making it clear that you are of Christ. That's what you are. You are of Christ. You are a living testimony. You are a living epistle. The Bible calls us a living epistle, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of our heart. And I'm going to say this too. That's why it's so important. You got to guard your heart. You can't allow anything to just erupt your heart. I almost said you may have a heart attack. So you have to watch your heart, okay? Because the enemy would love to attack your heart. And the heart he's talking about is your spirit, man.
Right.
So let me be real clear, brothers and sisters. Protect your spirit, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fall in love with Christ. That's where your heart needs to be at. Because wherever your heart is at, that's where your treasure is at. So if your heart is in Christ, then that's where your treasures are, is in Christ.
Yes.
That's not me. That's the word of God. That's why it's clear to me. God have called us apostles. He called us ministers. He called us pastor teachers. Why? Because he gave us these gifts for this purpose. Not for us to brag about it, but to operate in that as ministers. We are a living epistle. That's what we are. So you might as well go ahead on and accept that's what the word says, because you're chosen.
Hallelujah.
Peter said, but ye are chosen generation. I think Pastor picked that up yesterday for us over there in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. That's a duty. That's a responsibility. That's a requirement. You let your light shine. This is more than just talk about some bread you ate. This is more than talking about the fact that he put shelter over your head. This is more than talking about you've gotten delivered from drugs. This is more than that. This is more than bragging about how God. No, this is telling people about Christ, what he's able to do. And they should be able to see that in you. And I like the fact that we are chosen. I like the fact that we are part of a royal priesthood. You know, I'm also thinking about, what's that, Matthew 12, 18. I'm going to ask Pastor to find that. Listen, brothers and sisters, there's a call on your life. The Bible says, so the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but a few are chosen. You're one of the chosen ones. When you recognize that you are a living epistle, you've been chosen.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. And Matthew 12 and verse 18. Behold my servants whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Amen.
Yeah. See, if you recognize you've been chosen, we're just like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like Christ. Think about it.
Okay.
That's what Christ had to do. He was a living epistle. So we've been called to be just like Christ. Just like
mm-hmm.
him. But
yeah.
you have to decide that you are special. You're not ordinary. I know they were talking here in Georgia about the election, and they said they was hoping they don't have to have a special election. If they do, that means they got to choose. They got to make
mm-hmm.
a selection. That means that when you are chosen, everybody don't get that. You've
All
been
right.
chosen. It's
Thank
like
you, Lord.
You've been handpicked. That's what we have. We've been handpicked by God.
Thank you, Lord.
God preferred
Thank
us. We're like a preferred customer. You're preferred.
Thank you, Lord.
You're chosen. Everybody
mm-hmm.
doesn't. Everybody's not guaranteed a gold express card.
Hmm. Come on now. Say it.
You have to be chosen. A lot of people apply for that, but when you're chosen, they say, you don't even have to pay interest. We're choosing you. You want this car. All you do is sign. You have to receive the fact that you've been chosen. Why am I saying that? Because you've been chosen, but you have to accept it. You have to receive that.
Yeah.
You've been nominated. You've been nominated for excellence. Yeah.
Thank
to carry
you.
On one of the most awesome I tell people this all the time. The war that we're fighting, we have surpassed just being on the front line now. You are an officer that you can put on. So when I think about that scripture, I think it's in Colossians, that we're to put on the things that make us who we are as a chosen generation. Like he said to put on, therefore, the elect.
Yes.
See, when you've been elect, it means you've been chosen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not by anybody, but by God himself. You've been chosen. You've been elected holy brethren, the Bible calls us. Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Bowels of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's on you. Humbleness
yes.
of mind, meekness, long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take
All
this
right.
lightly because you're able to forbear one another and forgive one another. Any man did anything to you, don't even worry about it. Forgive him.
Yes. Amen.
And he says, act like Christ. Even as Christ forgave, he said, you forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, I'm going to tell you, because your mama is forgiven, that don't make that's you. Or that don't mean that that's you. You're going to have to do it on your own. You're going to have to operate like that on your own as a chosen vessel. And it's your time now. It's our time now. I want to say that again. It's our time now. It's our time. It's our time to rise up and be what the word of God have decreed and declared that you are. Stop thinking you're second class. Stop thinking that everybody else and not you. Stop thinking you are Matter of fact, let me tell you what. The Bible says that God's people are perfect people. Now, everybody don't want to receive that because they don't understand what God have decreed and declared. But God have, the Bible says when Jesus ascended on high and he led captives captive and he gave gifts unto man, one of the gifts he gave us is that royal priesthood. Everybody can be part of that. So if you're part of that, be thankful, man. Know that God has gifted man. You ask what kind of men? The Bible says even for the rebellion, they desire to be rebelled. He says, so something there are, and people got to know this. I mean, got to really know this, what I'm saying. If you're past 70, let me slow down, because there's so much I want to cover, and I'm not going to be able to cover all day, but here's what I want to say. If you're 70 or getting close, that's a gift.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, see, if you're 70, that's a gift. The Bible says you've been promised. See, promised 70 by reason of health and strength. So if you got the 70, wait a minute. If you get that 10, that's that gift, man. Very few people get that. Yeah. That's a gift.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, I said that because this sister was asking me, and I told her, yeah, it's a gift. God allows that to happen in your life. So when you get 70, 80, 90, man, you operating in God's gift, in his favor. That's what you are. But it's up to you to put on, therefore, as the elect of God. It's up to us to do that. Why? So it would become real clear. So now with all that being said, let us go back to Colossians 3. I think Pastor read from the 12 through the 16th verse.
Yes, Pastor.
The 13th verse says that, well, actually, when you think about this, it's the key for forgiveness others. It's remembering how much God has forgave you. It is difficult for you to forgive someone who has wronged you a little bit. You know, we always want to talk about, well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they treated me. Listen, brothers and sisters. Christ forgave you, then you got to forgive. It doesn't matter how big or how little or how wrong or you think it is. God forgave you so much, realizing God's infinite love and forgiveness can help you forgive others. A lot of times we don't want to put this spotlight, so to speak, on ourselves. But think about it sometime, what you've been through and how you've been through it and stuff you did. And you ought to be praising God right now that he didn't catch you in some of your worst times. But he brought you to life and he forgave you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said, like God forgave you, you forgive others.
Yeah.
You remember how you wanted God to forgive you, whatever that was. I'm not trying to call anybody's, what they may call sin. I'm not trying to call any of this out. But listen, praise nation. Praise nation. Take a look.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to put on the garment of love. We have to put on his love, his kind of love, which holds all other things in place.
Yeah,
I think about God's love like a woman's girdle. You know, that girdle holds that woman in place, certain things. And I want you to understand, God's love is bigger than that, but that's what it does. It'll hold you together. God's love will hold meekness. And you, God's love will hold patience with you. I mean, God's love will do it. Things that you thought And if I can just be real, real, brothers and sisters, because it says Christians should live in peace. Well, how are you going to do that with God's love? That's what I'm calling living in peace. Does not mean that you suddenly all become different opinion. It doesn't mean all that. What it means is you're required to love like Christ loved. So when you read First Corinthians 13:3, you'll see what I'm saying. See, this love is not a feeling. I'm going to say it. But a decision to be meek, to be like God wants you to be, it's a decision that you're going to live like this. You're going to live God's best because you are a living epistle. And when people see that, they can read that. And don't be surprised. They don't know what church you go to. That becomes your opportunity to tell them, I don't go to church. I am the church. I will be the church. That's what they need to see.
Yeah.
See, to live in love, it leads you to peace between individuals. When you're living in love, it brings about peace in the body of Christ. You don't have problems with relationship with other Christians. People who have not put on the elect of God, they still dealing with conflicts. Yeah.
Have mercy.
What we're trying to do is consider what we can do to call peace and harmony in there. Well, how you do it? You do it with love. Love what holds you together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all predicated on the word of God. That's why he said that the word comes from that's what it comes to do. But if you don't dwell in it and stay in it, you won't find that peace.
Say that.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Pastor to find Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9. And while she's finding that, let me just kind of emphasize a little bit on that 15th verse. Because it's telling us that our hearts are the center of the conflict in most situations. So this is why you have to guard your heart, protect your heart, or your spirit man, so the enemy don't come in and try to disrupt anything. You know why? Because if love holding it together like a girdle hold a woman together, then there is no jealousy.
All right.
There
come
is
on
no
now.
Big eyes and little you.
Mm-hmm.
Love
Amen.
Teaches you how to deal with conflict. Love teaches you how to stay constant in the things of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Then you begin to be ruled by peace. You find that yet, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay.
Philippians 4:9 reads as follows. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen.
Amen. Well, let me say the 16th verse. Thank you so much for reading that, Pastor. So when you read the 15th verse, you think about that, the God of peace, okay? Mm-hmm. You've been chosen to be peacemakers. Matthew 5, you're chosen to be peacemakers, not to call conflict, but to make peace.
Yeah.
So somebody said, you know what? Well, give them that piece of bread. Because that's what you've been called for, to make peace. If that's what it takes, let them have it.
Uh-huh.
You know why? Because of the verse 16. Although the early Christian has not accepted that the Old Testament and freely used it, they did not yet have what we have today, like the New Testament or any Christian books to study. Their stories and teaching about Christ was memorized and passed on from person to person. Sometimes the teaching was set to music, and so music became an important part of Christian worship and education. But don't let there be no doubt in your mind when he says for us to the 16th verse, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and teach you, admonishing one another with all wisdom. That's our job, be to lift people up, to admonish them, to teach them what Christ is saying about them.
Yes, go ahead.
But we're going to stop there. Anyone have any anything they like to share? Just press one, and we'll go from there.
So Pastor, in Matthew 5 and verse 9, it said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And from the New Living Translation, they say, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Amen.
Amen, amen. God called you to be peacemakers. God called you to be a living epistle so people could see it. The devil don't want you to do that. He wants you to run up in some building and hide so that you'll never be a living epistle. The only people know that a living epistle is those in the congregation. Isn't that sad how Satan have just changed the direction of people's lives? Run up in the church. No, go out, like Christ said in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore into all the world. Let people see your light, because you're a living epistle. Why you want the people inside the building, they should be able to see your light. And if they can't, it may be something wrong, but that's not the debate today, okay? The debate, as a matter of fact, it's not a debate at all. Let me be clear. What it is this, sharing the word of God in light of redemption. The Bible call you a living epistle. You have to call yourself a living epistle.
Amen.
You've been written, not with ink, but with the Holy Spirit. So let me put it to you this way, and I'm going to close, and we'll pick it up there tomorrow on Colossians 3:16. Let me put it to you this way. You know, if you was in the Georgia Dome or a big building and all the lights was off and you lit a match or flick your bick, people going to see you because you're a light. But that's how it is when you in the world. People need to see your light. I don't care if you go to the thrift store. I don't care if you go to the grocery store. You can go to Walmart. If you go there and you're witnessing or sharing, people going to see your light. They can't see it up in the building. So the enemy wants you to think that you're supposed to go to church. For what? If you got all these, everybody got lights in there and flicking their light on each other, you ain't help nobody. You help somebody when they're walking in darkness. And sharing with them that Christ loved them. Christ loved them more than their mama loved them. More than their father loved them. Christ loved you. And the reason you need to know that is because you're going to have your eternal life through Christ. That's how you need to know how much God really loved us. He gave his only begotten son. He didn't have another one that came by way of a woman other than Christ. Thank you all. I'll make sure y'all show up tomorrow now for the word at noon. It's Thankful Thursday. Tomorrow's Thankful Thursday. We want everybody to be thankful. Have a word or whatever you're thankful for. We'll see you tomorrow.